With so much turmoil and drama at the White House these days, you'd think there wouldn't be a need to make things up in the world of politics. Neil Milner joins us in the studio this morning. He's here to tell us about a recent study out of MIT that tells an interesting tale about fake news and other drama. So what's up, Neil?
Well, lots of things are up, and you have to understand this is not at all just about this White House. It's not at all just about political news. It's a study done by three MIT scientists about Twitter and news passing through Twitter. And one of these scientists was formerly one of the big scientists at Twitter itself. So what they did, they were interested in seeing the path of true news versus false news. So the first thing they did was to take every news Twitter, 128,000 of them, from the inception of Twitter till midway into the 2016 presidential campaign. They used fact-checking services to rate whether they were true stories or false stories. And they had a good – these are a little bit arbitrary, but the fact that they all showed about the same thing. Then they looked at – then they studied the threads of these things. That they and so the upshot was this. False news has more impact than true news. It travels faster. It travels deeper. False news travels 70% faster than true news and gets to a lot more people. We're talking about 3 to 4 million people becoming part of this thing. And that really was the upshot of the finding. It's a pretty thorough study, but it's a very numerical kind of statistical studies. And there's certain things that you're probably going to ask me, like, why does it work this way, that they could only say very little bit about.
Now, some people might be surprised at the findings. Some people might be depressed. I mean, it's just so disheartening.
Well, it may be disheartening, but it also fits into a pattern of things that we've begun to understand much more clearly, which doesn't make it pleasant, about the way people think about news. Remember the recent I've talked about this on and off during these shows over the course of the last couple of years, that first of all, people don't exactly approach the analysis of a piece of news, and this is not all newspaper news, but any kind of piece of news, in a sort of objective manner. They're looking for things that support them. We know the power of the story, and we also know from what's been on what I've talked about before on here, that there are kind of sound emotional reasons why people don't have much of a truth filter, at least initially. They see things. And so, in a sense, what we've begun to worry about a lot more in terms of the Trump administration and in terms of social media is not all that different in terms of the way people respond to things. As they, you and I have talked before about people here loving political gossip, and it seems like getting the dish on someone seems to be more important than whether the information is true or not. So there clearly is that kind of thing. The scientists who did the study said, in effect, look, the only way you can find out with any depth about why people think this way is through a whole very different kind of process of investigation, talking to people, interviewing them. We can't do it. But what we can show on the basis of this study is that novelty seems to have a lot to do with it. People respond to the novelty of the false story. And you can see that when they look at words that the people use, surprise, fear, all those kinds of things, as opposed to true stories, which are a little bit more delight and trust. But if you think about watching a movie, right? I think about this in terms of watching movies, that this kind of disgust and fear and surprise is a very powerful kind of thing. So they say novelty has a lot to do with it. They don't have really the faintest idea how you change this, and they're pretty honest about this, other than to say, be careful.
So it sounds like you're saying facts are boring.
Well, I think, but see, people don't make that distinction between, there's something to a false story. And remember, people don't know it's false. There's something in these stories that grabs people's attention. And I have an easier time getting an understanding of this if I think about storytelling generally, or if I think about comedians, doing sketch comedy, where there's a kind of believability, or even science fiction, there's a kind of believability here that captures people's attention, that brings them in. And it may be that false stories do that better than true stories.
But when you think about the consequences of that, particularly in a political campaign, and we've seen over the years how people have lost races because of some smear campaign, something that came out last minute and the candidate didn't have time to respond. And some of it was pretty, you know, they're saying, oh, it's juicy.
Do you have any local examples in mind?
Yeah. CCEFTEL.
Sure. Well, we never know how much impact they really have, first of all, but they're clearly part of the bag of tricks, the toolbox that gets used here all the time. And, you know, this is way prior to social media. It's almost prior to television, for goodness sake. So those things are there. But I think what we have to understand about people's reaction to voting and to politics is that, and I get this from a very definitive book called Democracy for Realists, there is very little link between what people think politicians do and what they in fact do. So in a sense, it's not like the rails are suddenly coming off the track. What we have now are media communications kinds of things that can move much faster along these kinds of lines. And we also have a president who is more than willing to use this kind of thing to his disadvantage and who, frankly, doesn't really think very much about the distinction between truth and lies. So I don't want people to be under any illusion that we've suddenly become this way. The context may have changed and the politics may have changed, but at its base, I think this is very much in line of what I would have expected, given what else we know.
Okay, you're not surprised. Share with us how these Boston researchers decided to go down this road.
Well, that's a sad and interesting story. At least two of them were sheltering in place in Boston in the aftermath of the Boston Marathon bombing. If you remember, the bombers, the perpetrators were on the loose, and the authorities set the shelter in place. And so these guys, these scientists, were getting their information while they were sheltering in place through Twitter. And afterwards, at least one of them, and probably both of them initially, the third person comes in later, began to think about the fact that they started looking at these stories. They said most of them are false, but essentially, we were operating on the basis of false information. Now, they certainly understood the context was different. This is a crisis context. But it got them interested in looking at, in a very comprehensive way that's never been done before, what the difference is in the impact of true stories and false stories. So that's how they got into it. And the third one got brought into it because he was a graduate student, and they got him to do some of the research.
Well, I remember when this was because it was a breaking story, that some of the media outlets were reporting folks who were possible suspects, person of interest, and they got some bad information.
Oh, yeah.
That was scary.
It was scary, and that's such a fluid situation. What we're talking about in the average tweet is not something as much as that. I want that to be very clear. It's not they were just doing crisis situations. They had this large, comprehensive 128,000. And this is true, by the way, for all stories, not just political stories, business stories, entertainment stories. False ones had a bigger spread. More people were interested in them and spread them along than true stories.
Right. So the bottom line is what? It's accuracy, isn't it? Be careful.
Well, that's what the one of the researchers said this. He said, look, all I can really say at this moment, they have some ideas about incentives to do things a different way. When you read stuff, be careful. Do fake news. Be literate about what's called fake news. By the way, they never used the term fake news. They said it's become totally politicized, not very useful.
Okay, be careful what you retweet, if you're tweeting.
Be careful what you retweet and do some media literacy. But remember how hard media literacy is to do. It's not just learning a skill. It's getting our brain to operate differently.
All right. Thank you, Neil.
You're welcome.
Neil Milner is retired professor of political science and contributing editor of our biweekly segment, The Long View. I'm Catherine Cruz, and this is The Conversation.